worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Reading verse 9 one more time. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.' Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." All of Psalm 27. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have of being able to spend time with you one-on-one as we open your word every day and spend time talking with you, conversing with you, spending time in your presence. Thank you for the grace, the power, the peace, the joy, the strength that pours into our hearts and our minds as we read and meditate in your word. Help us more and more to be wise enough to make this the high priority of our day that you would have it to be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for all those that are a part of our listening family now. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for us as your church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you again for all those that are part of our listening family. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us, Lord. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the grand plan of creation to today. Father, on the seventh day, you rested. And then Jesus says that he's Lord even of the Sabbath. So Father, in you we find our rest. In you we return to rest in your temple, in your home, in your household. Father, we can praise you in your presence, and we can praise you even now because you are here with us. When Jesus left, he said, never will I leave you or forsake you. So Father, thank you so much for being present with us. Thank you so much for having a grand plan to call us into a new heaven and a new earth later. And Father, I ask that you'd strengthen us, that we would confide in you as we work through the moments now. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I want to take time now to share an article. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. The title of this article, A Portrait of Real Manhood. The headlines of our day are screaming at us, letting us know where some of the real problems are with men in our society. Lots of our men look the part. Many men are outstanding athletes, highly gifted young men with lots of potential, much physical prowess, and many characteristics that our society admires. Yet tragically, so many of our young men don't know and have not been mentored, taught, trained, and schooled in what real manhood is and what it's all about. One's prowess on the basketball court, the football field, the soccer field, or the baseball diamond, his ability to make money, his ability to think, maybe to rap, all these may be very admirable, but it may tell society that those who admire that person basically nothing about how much of a real man an individual, quote-unquote, male really is. Today, there's a tremendous need for men in particular and society as a whole to get a clear picture, an accurate portrait of what a real man looks like. This picture, though, gives us a great view, though not of his outward appearance. It mostly depicts his heart, his mind, and his perspective. It's from the Word of God that we can find the characteristics of what a real man is. No one knows better than God what the most important characteristics of a man truly are. Now let's look at the Word of God and paint such a portrait. Some characteristics of a real man include, number one, he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16, Romans 10:9, and he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. Number two, he seeks to read the Word of God daily for himself. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105. Number three, he spends time in prayer daily. See Mark 1:35 and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And number four, he seeks to have time daily to bring his family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word, and pray together. See Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Number five, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all ears of life. See Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9, Proverbs 2, 1 to 9, Proverbs 3, 1 to 2, and Proverbs 4, 1 to 6. Number six, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as worship service on Sundays, Bible study on Wednesdays. See Joshua 24, 15, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Number seven, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life, whatever that calling may be. See Romans 12, 1 and 2, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Number eight, he works hard to provide for his family. See 1 Timothy 5, 8. Keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. See Genesis chapter 2. Number nine, he is a protector for his family. See Matthew 1 and 2. And number 10, he lives the life of a good role model for his family. See Joshua 24, 15. Number 11, he has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility and to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and doesn't run from it. See 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Being a man, a real man, is much more than just being able to father a baby. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious, and they are to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of women. He respects women and will decide not to be involved with a woman sexually unless he has won her heart and has put a ring on her finger and married her first. He understands that sex is for a man and a woman who are married to each other. He knows that he is never to have a sexual relationship with any woman other than the woman that is his wife, period. A real man, a godly man, is a man who has clearly decided to leave the actions and attitudes of boyhood behind. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions, and his attitude now seek to reflect that of a real man. See 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 13. Boys ask questions while real men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for girls and women. Real men don't hit women, they protect them. Boys too often consider a woman an object to be used. Men see a woman as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to a portion of an article entitled A Portrait of Real Manhood. We'll be right back.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountains to fall upon.
Music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were sharing from an article entitled A Portrait of Real Manhood, picking up close to where we cut off there. A real man, a godly man, is a man who has clearly decided to leave the actions and attitudes of boyhood behind. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions and his attitude now seek to reflect that of a real man. See 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 13. Boys ask questions while men, real men, give answers. Boys play house while real men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for girls and women. Real men don't hit women, they protect them. Boys too often consider a woman an object to be used. Real men see woman as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while men have and raise children. A boy won't raise his own child. A man will guide, teach, and discipline and train his own children and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while real men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while real men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is too hard and a waste of their time. Real men recognize the importance of and the value of education and preparation. They desire to be educated and or to gain a skill or skills in order to reach their full potential in life. The world in which we live is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Pray that God will raise up many of them who understand the important place and call of God upon them to be men after God's own heart in their home and in society and in the culture and world as well. Again, the title of that article, A Portrait of Real Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Ask for the article by the title, A Portrait of Real Manhood. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. They brought the Ark of God and placed it inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave to every man and woman in all Israel a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. David appointed the following Levites to lead the people in worship before the ark of the Lord, to invoke his blessings, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph, the leader of his group, sounded the cymbals. Second to him was Zechariah, followed by Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael. They played the harps and lyres. The priests, Benaiah and Jehaziel, played the trumpets regularly before the Ark of God's covenant. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given. You children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. Remember his covenant forever, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when you were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. Yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf. Do not touch my chosen people, and do not hurt my prophets. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations, so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, Amen, and praised the Lord. David arranged for Asaph and his fellow Levites to serve regularly before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, doing whatever needed to be done each day. This group included Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, Hosa, and 68 other Levites as gatekeepers. Meanwhile, David stationed Zadok, the priest, and his fellow priests at the tabernacle of the Lord at the place of worship in Gibeon, where they continued to minister before the Lord. They sacrificed the regular burnt offerings to the Lord each morning and evening on the altar, set aside for that purpose, obeying everything written in the law of the Lord, as he had commanded Israel. David also appointed Heman, Jeduthun, and the others chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They used their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments to accompany their songs of praise to God. And the sons of Jeduthun were appointed as gatekeepers. Then all the people returned to their homes, and David turned and went home to bless his own family. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. When David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. "Look," David said, "I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you." But that same night, God said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. I've never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. My home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another in a tabernacle. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I've never once complained to Israel's leaders, the shepherds or my people. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house?' Now go and say to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth, and I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past, starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will defeat all your enemies. Furthermore, I declare that the Lord will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and join your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, one of your sons, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for me, and I will secure his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my favor from him as I took it from the one who ruled before you. I will confirm him as king over my house and my kingdom for all time, and his throne will be secure forever." So Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And now, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving your servant a lasting dynasty. You speak as though I were someone very great, O Lord God. What more can I say to you about the way you have honored me? You know what your servant is really like. For the sake of your servant, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all these great things and have made them known. O Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. What other nations on earth is like your people, Israel? What other nation, O God, have you redeemed from slavery to be your own people? You made a great name for yourself when you redeemed your people from Egypt. You performed awesome miracles and drove out the nations that stood in their way. You chose Israel to be your very own people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. May it be a promise that will last forever. And may your name be established and honored forever, so that everyone will say, 'The Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, is Israel's God.' And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever. O my God, I have been bold enough to pray to you because you have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him, a dynasty of kings. For you are God, O Lord, and you have promised these good things to your servant. And now it has pleased you to bless the house of your servant so that it will continue forever before you. For when you grant a blessing, O Lord, it is an eternal blessing. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. After this, David defeated and subdued the Philistines by conquering Gath and its surrounding towns. David also conquered the land of Moab, and the Moabites who were spared became David's subjects and paid him tribute money. David also destroyed the forces of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath. When Hadadezer marched out to strengthen his control along the Euphrates River. Verses 1 through 3, 1 Chronicles chapter 18. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. If you don't have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start such a habit as that. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls, and every
music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. James chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there or else sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, "You must not commit adultery," also said, "You must not murder." So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well." But then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. James chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. Verses 1 through 3, James chapter 3. Thank you, Father, again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. And thank you for the blessings that are ours as we take time to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace. Empower us to be a people that are committed to reading and meditating on your word daily as individuals and as families. And help us as Christian parents to be wise enough to teach, train, and guide our children in the reading and studying of your word. Help us to be wise enough to have them to read out loud to us daily so that your word can pour grace, peace, and power into their hearts and their minds as well. Guide us, Lord, as the church in making it a high priority to disciple our children and our grandchildren, to disciple the children and youth of our church congregations. And help us, Lord, to make it the priority you would have us to make it. Help us to know, Lord, that the simple act of having our children read your word out loud is a powerful battle strategy to both strengthen and equip our children with the most powerful weapon in the universe, your word. And help us to know, Lord, that your word has healing grace that can heal hearts and minds and lives in every way. Help us to be wise enough individually and collectively as the church to make the simple act of reading and meditating on your word a high priority in all of our lives and in the lives of our families. And Lord, also help us to make spending time in prayer the priority you'd have us to individually and as families and as the church as well. And help us to spend seasons in prayer in the ways you would have us to as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God, as we normally do before we end the broadcast today. If you are listening today and you know you've never committed your life to Christ, or you're not sure where you are in your standing with God, today is a great day to be saved and to commit your life to Christ. If you'd like to make that step, ask Christ into your heart and to save you, simply pray this prayer with us even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I have sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live in obedience to your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some resource materials, some discipleship materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down deep roots in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the article entitled A Portrait of Real Manhood, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you, or any other resources we've shared in the past as well. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.